you've probably heard it said, there is nothing to fear but fear itself. Yes. It's a reasonable mantra, I suppose, when you're discussing courage or valor. In the midst of great terror or strife, one can be so paralyzed by fear that one is unable to move or make a decision. Sometimes we can be so afraid of making any decision that we make no decision at all. Fear is like that. It's crippling. It's enslaving. It can bind us and control us. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is talking about fear. Now, at the beginning of the lesson, Jesus is telling his disciples all the things that they are about to experience as they go out into the towns and villages of Israel, preaching and proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand, proclaiming that Christ is the Messiah. And Jesus presents these difficulties that they're about to experience very matter-of-factly. All the disciples will be hated. Family members who they're preaching to will rise up against other family members, even seeking to put some to death. They will be persecuted and mocked. Pretty fearful stuff. But Jesus does this not to strike fear into their hearts per se, but to prepare them. Whatever happens as they are about the Lord's work should be expected. In fact, the joyous surprise will be when someone they come across gladly hears and receives the word of God that's preached to them. But what the disciples would experience really should come as no shock to them at all. Just consider the accounts of the Old Testament prophets from centuries before. Or what about Jeremiah, as described in our Old Testament lesson this morning? This mouthpiece of God says that he is a laughingstock to everyone he encounters. Everyone is mocking him. His close friends are looking to overcome Jeremiah and take their revenge on him. The very word that God has given Jeremiah to preach, which he does, has brought this scorn and this hatred upon him. Being a prophet, now that's a fear-filled vocation to be sure, especially when the message to be delivered was one the people didn't want to hear. But what are you afraid of? I think many of us see our world today as full of uncertainties. Maybe a world that seems to be much different than the one we grew up in. We live in a world of pandemics, threats from foreign powers, civil unrest within our country, corruption in business and government, confusion over sexuality, confusion about life. We may feel the church being persecuted or oppressed in some way, in some ways that perhaps we have not seen before in our lifetimes. But hasn't it been the same in every generation? Hasn't every generation said, well, this isn't what it was like when I was growing up? There's always been disease, war, rumors of war, corruption, wrong ideas about what it means to be human. These things are not new. Christ's church has always been under attack. Ever since the world killed Jesus, it's been attacking his people, his church. And no doubt you have many fears as individuals. Fear of loneliness, change, illness, financial fears, fear of death. Fear has been in the world since Adam and Eve's sin. After the fall, Adam says to God, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." I suppose there are a great many things that we could be afraid of as God's people, or just in life. But of all the things that I just mentioned, these aren't the right things. These are not what we are to fear. Those things in this life that we are afraid of aren't what we're supposed to be afraid of. Instead, Jesus says, Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So first off, we should talk about hell, a most pleasant topic, I realize. I was surprised to see that as of 2015, according to a Pew Research poll, that 58% of Americans still believe in hell, and 72% believe in heaven. I wonder if those numbers have changed much in 5 years. But if you were ever to doubt the doctrine of hell, just read the book of Matthew. Jesus has more to say about hell in Matthew than any other New Testament writer. And the picture he paints is a most disturbing one. Hell is a real place, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The hell of fire, Jesus calls it. It is that place that was not prepared for human beings, but prepared for Satan and his angels after they rebelled against God. And now the devil is trying to drag as many of us with him as he possibly can. And notice what Jesus says in our text. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. On Judgment Day, when the dead are raised, those who trusted in Christ will receive their promised inheritance in heaven and the new earth, soul and body. And those who rejected him will be cast from his presence, soul and body, in hell. A dreadful, a fear-filled thought, to be sure. And who is this one? Who is the one who has authority to destroy both soul and body in hell? It's not the devil. It's Jesus, the judge himself. We are to fear him. As Luther says, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Fear God? Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Throughout Scripture, God tells us that we should fear him. Those who fear God are commended in the Bible, and it's a sign of unbelief to not fear God. The irony is that the unbeliever should be afraid of God's punishment, afraid of eternal death, and should turn and repent, but unbelievers don't fear God. They fear all kinds of other things, the foremost of which is death. The author to the Hebrews says, Jesus came to deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. As Paul says in our epistle reading, fear is like slavery. It constrains us, it binds us. We have in our sinful nature this servile or slavish fear to all kinds of things. And thus, they enslave us, death being the ultimate fear. But the Christian, you and I, are to only fear one thing, God himself. But this is not a servile fear. This is not a slavish fear. This is more like the fear of a child toward a gracious and loving parent. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a certain fear of my earthly father. Of course, I feared discipline. Nobody wants discipline, but what I was really afraid of was disappointing him. And that's a very different sort of fear. That is not a fear born out of fear of punishment. It is a fear born out of love, out of a relationship between a child and a parent. And so we desire to please God because of his love for us and our love for him, because of the mercy he has shown us. God disciplines us for our good. And fear of discipline from a loving God, that is much different than fearing the punishment of a wrathful God. Fearing God above all things means that we are only to fear him and nothing else. Then all those other fears, they melt away. Those things that can seemingly hurt us, can cause us pain, can bring persecution, God has promised to use those for his purposes and for our good. We don't need to fear them. Instead, we fear God. Are you afraid of losing your job? Don't fear that. Fear God. Are you afraid of losing your health? Don't fear that. Fear God. Afraid of pandemics or riots or political upheaval? Don't fear those things. Fear God. Afraid of those who can kill the body but not the soul? Don't fear them. Fear God. Afraid of death? Don't fear that. Fear God. Don't you remember? Jesus has defeated death. On the cross, he bore all of your fear. He took the wrath of God, the fearful wrath of God, upon himself. He killed it. He left it there. And he rose from the dead. He has given you eternal life. And as we come to fear God and all the rest of those fears gradually melt away, when we come before God in fear, the only person, the only thing we should actually fear, what does God say to us? He says, fear not. He says to you, fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. And our Lord God knows when even a single sparrow falls to the ground. The psalmist writes, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward them that fear him. We are beloved by God. We have received his mercy. St. John writes, perfect love drives out all fear. All of those terrible things that we're afraid of, they're no match for the love, the mercy of Christ. That love that God has poured out upon us in his Son, the one who says to his disciples, he says to you, fear not. Jesus says to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God's perfect love for us casts out all fear. Fear not. Let us pray. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us, and in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, amen.